1, 2, 3. Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to this Friday edition of the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice, where every day, Monday through Friday, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us there. And today, our theme is, as it often is on our Friday show, we kind of focus on what we call connecting the dots, making sense of the week that was, talking about some of the news, some of the issues that came up, and just getting into it, closing out the weekend, talking news and talk here locally in Tucson. By the way, our phone line is sponsored on Fridays by Why I Love Where I Live. They are a social media movement and now a retail location on the west side of the Mercado San Agustin Annex there, just off of the 10 on Cushing Street. And their focus is helping folks appreciate and explore, as a local tourist, their hometown of Tucson. So every Friday and Tuesday, they sponsor our live line. And when you call in to 790-2040, that live line, you can join in our conversation. And thank you, Tucson. I really mean this. This will be the last time I say it for the week, because, you know, this is the last show of the week. You participating and listening and calling in is what makes this show the show that it is. There's many different ways we could get this kind of content out there. We do it here because of you. Quite honestly, the opportunity to talk about real issues in real time is what makes this worth it. Man, there's just a lot to get into. I want to talk about a little bit of national news, maybe, and some state political news, and then maybe also just touch on a little bit of Sanctuary City, that issue, Prop 205, in the sense that, of course, that it's been talked about a lot on this station on multiple shows this week. I had Ted Maxwell on the show this week, President and CEO of SALC, to talk about it. A couple months ago, I had Zyra Livier on to talk about it. And then Steve Kozacik and Zyra Livier wrote a two pretty lengthy pieces in the Tucson Weekly about this issue. And it's just interesting to see how the conversation is growing in scale, I think, as we get closer. Tucson, if you live in Tucson, ballots are going to get to you within the first third of October. I didn't plan to talk about this. This is off the top of my head. But off the top of my head, I think it's the 7th or the 10th. October 7th or 10th, right around there, you should start to see your ballots. And then, of course, the election, the general election, is in early November. So it all feels far away, but it is not far away. So I think we'll talk about some of that and see where we go from here and take your calls. Tucson, what happened this week that is on your mind? What are some things that you are thinking about as we close out the week? What do you want to talk about? 790-2040. Give us a call in. So I've been, you know me, I kind of have thoughts from different perspectives, looking from different angles. I've been following this issue of some of the Democratic voices, especially locally, wanting to censure Kyrsten Sinema. So Kyrsten Sinema has about a 55% voting record of voting for policies and personnel and issues that would be more of a, they call it pro-Trump, pro-Republican, if you will. I'm my Friday brain is kicking in, as I'm sure yours is too, as is yours too, Tucson. Yes, I am getting my coffee dosage from Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. That solves just about everything. But as this begins to kick in, the words will come out a little bit more clearly. But the basic idea is that many Democrats are saying, hey, wait a second, we voted for Kyrsten Sinema because she's a D, we expect her to vote D, and she's voting over half the time with President Trump and the Republicans. I think one of the lines was, we didn't vote for her to vote R. We voted for her to vote D. Now, there's many ways, there's many directions that we could go with this conversation. Here's where I want to take it. And what made me think about where I want to take it is then Mark Kelly, right, the Democratic candidate for senator, who is running against McSally for the seat that McSally is filling at this point in time. She's also running for election. Is that Mark Kelly, right, said, hey, guys, wait a second. You know, she's trying to do her best. She's trying to do a good job. Maybe you should lay off a little bit, right? So this is Mark Kelly here at the end of the week running for senator. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, right? I'm not reading a direct quote. The direct quote, as you can imagine, was different from that. But I'm not here to talk D or R or talk the parties at this point. It reminded me of a frustration I'm starting to have. Can we vent? it's the fun part of vent. Being on this side of the mic.
Vent away. We're all listening.
This is, you know, radio is supposed to be fun after all. So state I feel this about both parties. I think there are Democratic wings of the party that want to run far left in a red state. Right? Arizona is starting to become purple, but it's a red state. I feel, you know, even some of our more conservative neighbors in Tucson want to run far right in a definite blue city. My point being is that in Arizona, whether we're talking statewide, I'm going to talk statewide in a minute, or even locally, it just seems like there's a difficulty in connecting with the political context. Did I say that in a diplomatic way? The political context in Tucson is it's a blue community. If you're going to run center right or run conservative, you have to understand where you're running. I would say this statement at a state level. Here's my point. Hey, call me 790-2040 if you think I'm wrong. Do you, in the seat that Kyrsten Sinema now holds as a senator of Arizona, do you know the last Democratic senator in that seat? Evidently, it's called a class one senator. We have a class one senator and a class three senator. Kyrsten is holding the class one Senate seat. We haven't had a Democrat holding that seat down since 1977. Dennis DeConcini was elected in 1977 and left that seat in 1995, right? In Kyrsten Sinema's seat, but before Kyrsten Sinema, right, there was not a Democratic senator since 1995. Of course, in the seat McCain held, class three senator from Arizona, right, there hasn't been a Democrat in that seat since Carl Hayden, who left his seat in 1969. In 1969, there has not been a Democratic senator since 1969. Here, to me, is what I think Kyrsten Sinema realizes, right? And this is just my opinion. But here is what I think Kyrsten Sinema realizes, and I think she's realized it from the beginning. By the way, this voting record with Trump is not a new thing in the Senate. Kyrsten Sinema has been voting, you can call it independent, you can call it center right. She's been voting this way for quite a while. You knew this when she was running for Senate. You knew her record, right? She's a solid Democrat. Democratic values tends to vote more moderately, tends to vote more center right. I think Kyrsten Sinema realizes at a state level what a lot of local voices may not fully recognize. And that would be, in Arizona, if you're going to run as a statewide Democrat, you are running in a state where you still have to be a moderate voice. Right. And I thought about this when I saw Mark Kelly's statement of like, hey, Arizona has this, you know, kind of history of the independent senator, a little bit mavericky, right? That was John McCain's brand. You never knew whether he was going to thumb up or thumb down Obamacare. He thumbed down, right? You know, when that he was the swing vote to taking Obamacare out, right? The famous thumbs down drove Trump crazy. The maverick, right? That's the Arizona brand, at least at this point, for better or for worse. I think Mark Kelly realizes that if you're going to run as a statewide Democrat in a state with a county that was the most dense Trump voting county in the country, that would be Maricopa, in a state that is largely red, that if you have any chance of winning as a Democrat, you don't get to run to the fringe of the party. You just don't get to do it. Right? Now, let me rephrase. This is not a party thing, right? Because I think if you look at things objectively, you can kind of feel the same way, you know, about Tucson, right? The last Republican to win the mayor seat in Tucson, for example, was Bob Walkup, someone who hung out more in the middle, and he got shot at from both sides for it, right? So I think it's interesting, and what Mark Kelly made me think about is I think this realization that if you're running as a D in a red state, you got to be a little more independent and moderate, right? You can't run to the fringe of the party. And I think that's the same locally. And I see those challenges play out both locally and at a statewide level. So that was my interesting personal angle on the issue. Interesting to see how that will play out. By the way, that censure issue has been punted to January, so the decision won't be made until January. So let's go to our first break. When we come back, we'll talk more local Tucson items. As we close out Friday, connecting the dots, making sense of the week that was. What's on your mind, Tucson? Give us a call on our Why I Love Where I Live live line, 790-2040. Tucson, welcome back to the program. You're listening to the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And we thank you for your trust and local listening. We do our best to bring high-quality news and talk your way. And especially on Monday and Friday, we talk some Tucson and regional specific news. And I emphasize regional because this station's signal reaches far beyond just even Tucson, the city limits, even the Tucson metro area. It's a very regional station. And so we try to focus on those issues as well. So thank you for listening. On that note, give us a call in, 790-2040, to add to the conversation. If you have something that you want to talk about here in Tucson or respond to anything that I am bringing up, give us a call. Our live line is sponsored by Why I Love Where I Live every Tuesday and Friday. Go check them out on the west side of the 10 in the Mercado District there. The Mercado San Agustin Annex is where they are located. Well, I'm going to switch to a little bit of a personal note, but it's about a citywide issue. After I leave the station, a very busy day ahead. You've heard me and other guests talk about a big event that is going on in the downtown area. And that is an effort to bring students from all three of our major institutions here locally, by the way, Pima Community College, ASU, and U of A. ASU has a social work campus here in Tucson, in the downtown area, actually. And the effort has been to connect students in their juniors and senior year, especially, with the job and career opportunities that are available in the city. You know, it's interesting, we'll say, and I've been a part of these conversations for a while now in Tucson, you know, a lot of young talent, right, that I talk to. And by that, I just mean, let's just talk about the juniors and seniors in college, right? They're about to get their degree and they're making their decision. Do I stay in Tucson? Do I leave Tucson? A lot of time that group will say, you know, I'd love to make Tucson a home, but I can't find a job. And then those employment that are offering entry to mid-level careers will say, hey, we have jobs, we just can't find the talent, right? And a friend of our show's and a friend of mine once, in a very funny way, right, said, somebody's lying, right? Both can't be true. and of course, that wasn't to disparage either side. No one's lying on purpose. It's just that somebody doesn't have the right pulse on the situation. Who is it? Is it the talent? Is it the employer? And the answer is probably somewhere in between. So the goal of, and we've talked about it on the show here before, the goal of this career crawl is to basically say, look, student Jane, student Joe, you can get an IT and innovation job here. You can get an aerospace and defense job here. You can get a job in bioscience, creative, entrepreneurial, optics, photonics, astronomy. There's jobs to be had here. I think we can just all do a better job of connecting our talent to our job opportunities. Now, I want to back up because I've talked to people who have said, I don't think that you're solving the whole problem. And to that, I would say 100 million percent yes. Do we have enough jobs in Tucson? Do we have a diversity of jobs? Do we pay enough? If you listen to the show more than a week, you know that my answer has been mostly no to all three of those questions. And if you've been listening to this show for more than a week, you know that I often put my coach hat on and say, hey, we can do better. We should do better. Here's how we do better. But all that to say is we have a problem at the beginning of our pipeline. What do I mean by that? For our existing university, trade, college graduates, for the jobs that we do have in the city, we're not yet cracking the code on how to connect those two groups well in the city. And so I've been a part of an effort along with many, many people to figure out, hey, what would it look like to spend a few hours with those entering their senior year, in their senior year, getting ready to finish, to say, hey, look, are you interested in this field? Is this where your degree path is? This is where your trade path is going. Well, let us actually introduce you and show you, not on campus, but off campus. Let's bring you into the new buildings that are downtown. Let's show you the new co-working spaces. Let's show you the company's Caterpillar's new build. Let's show you what is going on downtown. Because the scary piece is that a lot of our upperclassmen and women in Tucson have not had the opportunity, and I'm being diplomatic, have not had the opportunity to get off campus and to see what our community has to offer. And that is a challenge that we need to solve. So I'm excited about, I'm also a little nervous because it feels like a going where no man has gone before type of task. The business community has come around this. Many sponsors and supporters have come around this effort. It's really been a community-wide effort. Now the question is, are we going to get juniors and seniors to come and spend an afternoon in downtown Tucson seeing what our community has to offer right now? It is a small step in a big direction, and but it's a necessary one. And so that's where I'm headed. I told you it's gonna be a personal note, but with big city implications. As you know, because we've talked about it a lot on this show, enterprise follows talent, at least how many in the economic development space talk about it, that if company ABC, whether they start in Tucson or they start outside of and they want to move here and headquarter here, they look at many infrastructure, land, government, politics, look at many things. One of those things is talent. Can we fill our talent pool with skilled individuals for whatever we need to get done here locally? And so if we can tackle that challenge, right, if we can keep, you know, young people here in Tucson, then good things will happen. Again, not the whole kit and caboodle. In fact, I think this is part of the problem, is that we'll say, hey, if we solve this little piece of the issue, we'll solve the whole thing. Doesn't work that way. It takes solutions across many different pieces, right? You could have major companies grow out of and come into Tucson, and if the roads are bad, they're not going to stay, right? You can have great roads and great jobs, but if the school system isn't up to par, you're not going to have the success, right? You can have great schools, great roads, and good jobs. But if you have a public sector, right, government, local government, that either gets in the way or doesn't support in the right ways, then you don't have a sustainable situation. So it takes the whole picture. By the way, before we go to our live line, before we end, one of our panelists at this event today is a company that has grown 100% out of Tucson. They're in the Inc. 5000, right? One of the top 5000 fastest growing companies in the country, in the world. And they need skilled workers to work in their business, and they have a hard time following it. So this is a local conversation and so much more. Wayne, thank you for calling our Why I Love Where I Live live line. I've got about a minute if you can do it.
Yeah, I just I hear a lot about people wanting a living wage, and you know, they talk about high wages at places like McDonald's, and they have people that need to, you know, need to make more money to, you know, do their thing. What I think is a good way to get a job is get your foot in the door and maybe accept whatever wage it is and learn on the job. But people have developed issues, you know, like getting married and having kids and you know, needing $20 an hour when they're maybe only worth 12. And, you know, so I think there's a social issue here also as far as employment.
Wayne, thank you for your call. And I don't have time to share a thought back, but I want to after we come back from our break. I want to speak to this because you brought up a great point, Wayne. This is a much bigger conversation than a per person wage. I got a thought for you when we come back from the break. Thanks, Wayne. He called our Why I Love Where I Live live line, 790-2040. You can as well. Give us a call. We'll be right back after bottom of the hour news and messages from our great sponsors here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back to the program, our Friday edition of the show where we talk together about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. We often call Friday our connecting the dots hour of the program. We air every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10, our new hour. We call Friday connecting the dots, trying to make sense of the week that was. And in the first half of the show, I talked about how we think about state and local politics in Arizona, and some thoughts that the issue around censuring Kyrsten Sinema and then Mark Kelly's statement here at the end of the week about Kyrsten Sinema made me think about that. We covered that. We also talked a little bit about jobs in Tucson and connecting our young graduates and our young trade workers as well. We can't talk about that enough with the jobs that we currently have in Tucson. Look, I want to say this. There are jobs to be had in Tucson. Not enough, not a diversity enough, right? We're all clear on this. I'm more kind of adding on to the conversation from the last segment. So in that segment, I talked about, you know, how I'm not arguing that there's enough or that we are where we want to be or that we have the diversity of jobs, but we do have jobs. Our challenges often come around the fact that sometimes those jobs are either not connecting with young graduates, right, entry-level to mid-level workers in Tucson, or are skipping the talent we have locally for even out-of-state workers, and or university and college and educational institution students aren't getting the opportunity for whatever reason to see the jobs and opportunities here, right? So instead of just saying, you know, we need all this sea change, 30,000 macro level change, which, you know me, I'm always willing to go there. I think there's some small steps we can do in the meantime. There's some small adjustments that will create a greater effect here in Tucson that we can work on today to get to the end result. So we talked about that. One of our callers at the end of the last segment brought up the minimum wage living wage, probably more accurately living wage conversation. It was right at the end of the segment, and we have a hard bottom of the hour kind of news and sponsor segment, and so I couldn't quite respond, but he made me think of something, and I want to have a real quick, honest, genuine, people-loving conversation about this, because what I'm about to say, I have heard from my friends that I work with that would be left of center, right? So this is not a philosophical talking point. We talk about getting to $15 an hour as a living wage. I think whether you are right of center on that or left of center on that, there's actually agreement that $15 an hour is not even close to a living wage. Not even close. In fact, many estimate that if you are going to just get by in America today, if you're just going to get by in America today, right? These aren't my numbers. These aren't my spins. This is data. You can go look it up. You really need more like $25 to $30 an hour full time, right? $25 to $30 is basically break even, is basically break even. $50,000 to $60,000 is median wage in the country. That's just kind of break even, right? That's not, you know, the ability to make great financial decisions. That's not, you know, money to pay off your house in, you know, 5 years less time. It's not much of saving for college. It's just kind of getting by. And so our last caller brought this up, and it made me think that most people that I talk to agree that $15 an hour may be a step in the right direction. It's not even close to being what it needs to be. Now, what I am not proposing personally is that we make that living wage 25 or 30. What I am saying is that the bigger issue that I think we have to be talking about is how do we make sure that our workforce has the opportunity to progress in their careers, in their jobs, from minimum wage jobs to jobs that can actually pay and sustain a family, right? Because I don't think that we can or should or want to regulate that from a public sector position. Right, I think $15 an hour, we're seeing some economic impacts that are already saying that, you know, if we reach that and we're scheduled to in Arizona, it's going to be a hard time. And I may want to check myself on that. I know definitely we're on a year-by-year path to, I think, $12 an hour. I need to check myself on that. But, you know, this is not something that I think can be regulated. What I like, and I've even heard as a Democratic candidate talking point on the presidential stage, right, is the issue is not how do we regulate our wage up. It is exactly what Wayne said. How do we make sure that our workers have the opportunity and the ability to move in their career upwards, to be able to get paid what they need to get paid, to be able to raise a family and live well? That is not something that should be necessarily at the entry level, but it has to be at the mid and senior level. And I think I think regulating wages actually has a negative impact in communities. And I hope everyone listening is hearing me say, we got to pay our workers. Right? People leave communities when they can't afford the cost of living. It's why the Sun Belt is such a great spot right now, because our cost of living is still manageable with what people get paid. In communities where that's not happening, you're seeing exodus of talent, exodus of families, exodus of resources. So you got to find that balance. But I think the bigger ecosystem is the conversation that we need to be having, not the direct topic. So thank you to that caller who got me on that rabbit trail there. Al on our Why I Love Where I Live live line, this has caused some conversation. This topic has a comment on wages. Al, you're live. Thanks for calling in.
Well, my comment is, I don't understand. This is a minimum wage. This is what you start at. Don't people understand that they have to pay more money? Whatever their product is, they have to make up that money somewhere. This is a starting wage. You know, you start that way. Then as you do better and you get better, you get more money. You can't end up going in at presidential wages and when you're first starting. What if you are bad at the job?
Right. No. I mean, Al, that's what I'm saying. I'm also just saying that we have to make sure we're providing those opportunities for progression, because there's a lot of people that get stuck at that minimum wage job. And as a community, whether that's local, state, national, we got to figure out how do we make sure that we're working on workforce development, that we're providing those next step opportunities. Because
do a better job, work harder, show the person that you want to move up in life. That's the way it works. I mean, put it this way. Yeah, we raise the minimum wage now. Look how much hamburgers are when you go somewhere. They've gone up $2. Every place has gone up. So the people are in the same boat they were when they started. They just have more money.
Right.
I don't understand where people are missing, where they're missing it.
Yeah.
It's a catch 22.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Al. I mean, that's my economic viewpoint, is we don't realize the costs on the back end. I'm just being sensitive to the fact that ability to progress in career is not available to 100% of our friends and neighbors. And that's the issue that I think we need to tackle, not trying to solve it by solving the minimum wage. I don't know if that's making sense. We're on the same page, Al. I think we're just going back.
No, I see what you're meaning.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people that are, you know, that are starting out jobs now expect, you know, making a lot of money right off, and they need to understand you have to do the horrible jobs and, you know, clean the toilets and do all the BS jobs before you know, that they see what kind of person you are, before they give you more money. And if you just go in there, la-da-la, and don't care, who's going to pay somebody more money? I mean, it's like you. If you don't get more listeners and stuff, they're either going to let you go or they're not going to give you a raise.
Right, Al, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much.
You have a great day.
Yes.
Thank you.
You,
bye-bye.
You as well. Bob, you...
I don't.
You're looking itchy over there.
Oh, I understand where Al's coming from, and to a degree, there's certainly the father, like my father would say, hey, you know, let's work a little harder, get there a little earlier, and that's great. And I think what I hear you saying is, what about the guy that has been there a couple years and he's there early and he's doing his best, but he's not the best guy there. He's been there a couple years. He's got to the best that he can possibly do. Do we leave him there?
Right.
Because there is part of that entrepreneurial, you know, get out there and do it, boy, that doesn't help those in the autism spectrum or those who are partially disabled emotionally, mentally, physically, or don't, I don't know. You know what I mean? We can't just leave him behind, so to speak. There's a lot of high functioning people out there that want to do more, and then they get stuck. They get stuck in this. I think I'll just take my disability rather than put my neck out there and getting beat up at work. I know I'm being kind of broad here, but
sure. No, I mean
I'm trying to fill in the gaps of when Al said, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. So that's what I'm trying to address. So.
Yeah, no. And this is good conversation. And I'm not trying to beat around a bush, by the way, because this is a really complex topic. And I'm trying to see it from all angles in the sense of if let's try it this way, Bob. If we're going to say, you know, look, you know, we want a situation where someone can start at a $12 an hour job and then move up to 15 and 18 and 25 and 30 because they're growing their skills, they have education, they're able to work hard and get there, then I think we as a community need to make sure that all those pieces are in place, right? Like, we need to make sure that education is accessible. We need to make sure that workforce development is in place. We need to make sure that there is that kind of pathway to growing in your career. If we're not solving the problem. I'm just saying, I am yet to be convinced that raising the minimum wage is the right way to do it. A, because of the economic impact. B, because I don't think we can raise it high enough for it to actually be effective. I don't think that we can create, we're decades away from being able to do a minimum wage that gets anywhere close to the needs of an average American. So I'm looking at it more from a 30,000 square foot, more of a systems level, and seeing we're trying to treat a symptom. I'm trying to figure out what's the cause. And I think $15 an hour is a symptomatic solution, not a systems solution. In my mind, that was clear. I may have just messed it up even more.
If you look at those who are pushing higher, I'm trying to put this into the right words where you were going, but for those who want the $15, $20 an hour, from their point of view, and what I've heard a lot is the money's there. There is no problem. We're not going to wreck these companies. They have the money. They can just restructure a little bit. Boom. All these, you know, guys here at the bottom can be brought up. The argument is, what about those in the middle? Don't they deserve, you know, for that guy that was advancing, for the Al that's a hardworking guy and he's progressing every day. What about him? Do we, right? Like you said, it's a very, very complex issue.
Bob, thank you for putting the conversation back on the path. This is the point that I wanted to make, is I think we localize national issues. Here's what I mean. We look at Amazon and we say, well, Amazon could do it. right? And expect that business is able to do it without realizing that there's tiers of business, right? You have the big companies that, yeah, may be able to afford it. But if you regulate that across the board, then the mom and pop food and restaurant and store and shop isn't able to do that. In Tucson, what is it? 60% of our restaurants are family or independent owned. So Tucson is a local independent driven economy. And if we treat all business as a monolithic community, we miss out on the fact that the profit and loss statement is very different, you know, for my friend's shop down the street than it is for Jeff Bezos's Amazon. But the conversation I hear doesn't recognize that. And then there are solutions. Well, then the government can step in and can subsidize those small businesses. And I'm people oriented, but I'm also math oriented. Like, the math has to work. And I don't see how that works. So I'm trying to look at it more from an analytical approach from the middle. And so I'm ready to be shot at. But complex issue. But let's go to break. We always have time to continue this. I wanted to touch on one other local issue. But our phone lines are open, 790-2040. Bob, the beauty of local conversation, this is what's supposed to happen. We got time to go anywhere and everywhere. Let's do it. Our Why I Love Where I Live live line is 790-2040. Give us a call. Let's chat. We're closing out our last hour of the week here on the Creative City Show. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back to the program. Our last few minutes of the hour. Don't forget that Doug, Jen, and Victoria are coming up here when we say sayonara. And then Bill Buckmaster comes on at noon. Dylan Smith will be joining him this Friday, as he often does. So lots more live and local and quality radio coming your way here on 1030 The Voice. Next week is shaping up to be a good one on the show. I'm going to leave it a little bit of a tease for you, but we're going to talk startups and innovation. We're going to talk tourism and city branding. We're going to talk economic development. We're going to talk, maybe touch on some issues related to Hispanic Heritage Month. Let's see. I'm just kind of going off the top of my head. We just have some really good things that are lining up on the show next week. So when you're able to carve out time, 9 to 10 in the morning, every day, Monday through Friday, we certainly appreciate it. Also, if you jump in the middle of a conversation and you wish you had tuned in a few minutes earlier, don't worry. We have a solution for you, and that is our podcast. You can go to kvui.com/podcast. You can listen to a full replay of all of our shows there, or if you are an iPhone person, you can find us on iTunes, or if you are an Android person, you can find it on Google Play Music, and you can subscribe and download the podcast there, and I certainly hope that you do. I gotta tell you, you know where I listen to podcasts a lot?
Secretly on your Android. I don't know where. I'm sorry.
I did ask the question. So
I thought, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal.
No, all right. Not so secretly. And you can ask my wife. I binge watch podcasts cleaning the house, right? So when you're jogging, running, exercising, cleaning the house. We actually find that a lot of our podcast listeners are binge listening over the weekend. So when you're catching up on life stuff and you can pop your earbuds in or whatever the case may be, it's a great time to listen to a podcast. A lot of our listeners do. So whatever you're doing this weekend, you can still listen to the Creative City Show no matter what.
Hey, I was going to ask you, have you seen this film on Amazon called Startup Land?
I have not.
It's rather, boy, I started to watch it and I thought, this is like so Zach.
Is this on Amazon Prime?
Yep. And they, you know, bring in 5, 6, 7 different guys, run them through an accelerator program. And it's it sounded like a lot of your shows when we first started.
Cool.
All these young, annoying millennials there. I said that for Chuck's or Paul's point of view, whoever it was.
Lots of people.
Yeah. It was at least two. Not mine, because I have millennials living with me.
Yeah, you're
home.
Not allowed.
I don't even know who these people are. Excellent. You would really, really enjoy this. And for, I would say for those of your listeners who haven't quite figured you out because it took me a while, a year or so ago, when I did you on the weekends. I had no clue what you were talking about. But if you watch Startup Land, it's like taking a couple of days in of your show and putting rolling it right in. It's fascinating to see this, what you're talking about, just boom, right there. It's neat on a big scale.
Can you expand that screen up there that you have on the computer, scroll up a little bit just to kind of see the five startup CEOs have 12 weeks in a tech accelerator to build their ideas into promising companies before they present to a room full of investors. And if you don't have Amazon Prime, you can start a 30-day free trial and just do that to watch the movie for free.
You're probably binge watch that this week. Four times
over. So after you listen to our podcast over the weekend,
that's what I was implying.
Go watch Startup.
Then go back and listen to Zach's podcast again from a different computer.
There we go.
And double the amount of listens he has because he's worth it.
You know what? Also on the podcast, this is just a funny factoid. You can also, at least on an iPhone, you can speed up my speed of talking.
I do that with Chuck Smith. Yeah.
By 1.5 or 2. You can just go, but
hey, do a song on, how's it going?
Sorry.
Our future is close around the corner. Our potential is greater than we know. Go ahead, we'll be back from our sponsors.
I just had a touch.
It's like that disclaimer at the end of some commercials that goes about, 5x the speed at the end. You can't catch it all, but it fulfills legal requirements.
Yeah. Right. Battery's not included.
Right. So definitely go ahead and do that. I have a relevant what I'm doing this weekend. Bob, what are you up to this weekend?
I'm going to try to get all of this gunk out of my lungs, but the Dio family will be celebrating an 11th birthday our daughter this Sunday at a pool party and emotional little 11-year-olds. It'll be great. I'm looking forward. What about you?
I am going to, besides the catching up on life that I talked about where I binge podcast episodes,
and clean house.
TEDx Tucson is this weekend. We had TEDx Tucson on the program 4 or 5 weeks ago, and it's a big day-long event about big ideas for and from Tucson, and go to TEDxTucson.com for tickets. I would assume there's still maybe a couple hours you can do that. It's for most of the day tomorrow. More than 500 TED Talk fans will come together on Saturday, September 21st, to immerse in ideas worth spreading at the Burger Theater, 1200 West Speedway Boulevard, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. 12 of Tucson's leading thinkers and doers will present short talks on topics from galaxy exploration to creativity, civil society, tiny houses, mining, French architecture, and more. Lucha Libre Mexican mass wrestling demonstrations, folk rock duo Ryan Hood, other performances. Your ticket includes lunch and snacks and after party. It's great.
So we have space exploration, and then what was that last thing you said about wrestling?
Lucha Libre Mexican mass wrestling.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's actually two of them.
And space exploration.
So it'll be good. The tickets are, for all that you get, are not super expensive. I think they are $65 to $100, depending on what level of ticket that you buy. So go ahead and do that. Burger Theater, Speedway. That's one thing that I'll be doing this weekend. Tucson, I hope you have a great one, whatever you do. Thanks for tuning in to the Creative City Show. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Why I Love Where I Live for sponsoring our live line where we get to do trusted local news and talk together here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. This has been the Creative City Show. We'll see you back on Monday at 9 for more. Have a great one, Tucson. Talk to you soon.